We're moving on to the second session of Heavenly Realms, looking at how the realms are formed, how the realms function together. Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if we engage heaven and we are part of the as it is, as sons and co-heirs, we're part of that. How do we do that? Well, we need to learn how to engage the different realms of heaven for the different functions of government that take place there, both the relational aspects of engaging God that way, but also the governmental perspectives of engaging God in that way. So we must engage the heavens for ourselves. Engaging the ark of God's presence within the Holy of Holies is where we can receive mandates that enable us to function as lords, kings, and sons. And we looked at the process of engaging as living sacrifices. And now we need to then begin to function in the governmental perspectives of sonship. So our maturity opens up new levels of sonship, governmental authority, experiencing Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the name of God, the four faces of God within the order of Melchizedek. So the tabernacle, the outer court, inner court, Holy Holies pattern is the fractal image of the heavenly realms themselves. Veils between the areas known as in the temple as the way, the truth, and the life are represented of veils or matrices between different realms within the heaven, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, heaven, and beyond. They also represent our levels of maturity of coming into governmental positions in our sonship. So we saw that these three tabernacles, tabernacle of man, body, soul, and spirit, is a fractal. The actual earthly tabernacle, outer court, inner court, Holy of Holies, is a fractal, and heaven itself is a fractal, but there's also the actual heavenly tabernacle itself, in which we have access to come, and it's a process of engaging. But also heaven itself is patterned after that. So the kingdom of earth, we go through the cross and through the veil of the way, enter into the kingdom of God, start to take our positions and mountains and begin to rule our own lives and sometimes wider spheres as a Lord. And then we can go deeper into the realms of heaven, go through the veil of the truth, enter into the realm of the kingdom of heaven, start to have charge of the courts, of the higher courts as a king. And then we can go through the veil of the life and go further into that in terms of charge of the courts at a higher level court and engage the courts and the assemblies of God. And eventually to access beyond that into the heaven of heavens and have access to stand in some of the councils and assemblies of God, the Council of 70, the Court of the Lord and other courts. Now the blood of Jesus is always on the mercy seat covering the ark so we can always come. All of us can come with confidence to engage the ark of the presence of God. We don't have to come and fear coming in any particular, through any particular ritual. We have access through the blood of Jesus. And it is that blood that gives us the confidence. Our spirit needs to resonate and harmonize with the contents of the ark. That's why we're looking at our doing God's will, knowing the will of God, knowing the heart of the Father, letting Him writing it on our heart. We looked at that last time. So we need to come and expect God to reveal His will, His word, His heart, and release His authority to us. That's why we're going there. We're engaging with the four faces, which are the governmental perspectives of God's kingdom and His presence there. So Zechariah says, the Lord of hosts, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, if you will perform my service, then you will also govern my house and also have charge of my courts, and I will grant you free access among these who are standing here. So this is the process that we can all go through of learning to walk in His ways and learning as a priest to engage in the things of heaven and learning, therefore, to rule and govern and operate the courts of heaven. So many of us have had mystical encounters, experiences, but most were an involuntary nature, going into trances, intense times of worship, having visions, engaging heaven. But if we're going to be involved with the as it is in heaven, we need voluntary encounters continually. We need to be able to live there, to engage there, to function there, until we can live in those dual realms and operate from heaven to earth continually. It's a process of maturing and learning. So I've been on a long journey to discover how to engage these spiritual realms. It began with engaging the gifts of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit revealing information around us, you know, seeing words of knowledge and wisdom, prophecy, all those type of things, pictures, visions. There's discernment to distinguish spiritual knowledge and wisdom. That's really what we're looking to discern. And eventually our spirit will begin to grow that we don't need the Holy Spirit to tell us things. We will be able to discern things ourselves because we are engaging them in the spirit. So God took me on a journey to train my senses to hear, to see, to perceive, and know. The Hebrew understanding of seeing encompasses all the senses. We tend to focus on the visual, but it encompasses everything. Our natural eyes, the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our spirit, all receive information that our brain interprets, our consciousness, our mind interprets. Spiritual perception comes through various senses. With our eyes closed, the brain starts to see the screen of our imagination. As our brain waves go from faster beta waves to slower alpha waves, we actually become more spiritually sensitive. But we can learn to tune our spirit even without our eyes being closed when we learn to develop the senses that our spirit reveals to us. All sensory information is actually discerned in our minds or our consciousness. We just have to learn to tune into it. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "So fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Now, it doesn't mean you can't see it. It just means that it's not visible in this realm to our natural eyes. We can still see it. We can still perceive it. We can still engage it with the other eyes that we have, the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our spirit. So as we look at the unseen with the eyes of our heart and spirit, it begins to be played out on the screen of our imagination. Now, a lot of people struggle with this and say, "Well, I'm just making it up," or "it's a figment of your imagination." The reality is God's given us an imagination so that we can see things, so we can engage things, so we can go beyond the physical limitations of our natural eyes and the light that it receives. So it's important that we don't belittle the screen of our imagination. Even when we're living in dual realms, it is still that area of our mind, our consciousness, which begins to perceive and engage and connect to what it is that God's doing and what we're doing and what we're seeing. So imagination is more important than knowledge. For knowledge is limited to all we now and know and understand, while imagination embraces the entire world and all that there ever will be to know and understand. Albert Einstein. Now, as a scientist and one who came up with some amazing theories, theory of relativity and other things, he had insight in how he received revelation. It didn't come by study. It came through the imagination. The intuitive mind is a sacred gift. The rational mind is a faithful servant. We have created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift. Albert Einstein. Logic will get you from A to B. Imagination will take you everywhere. Again, Einstein had some really insightful things when it came to this type of understanding. And he linked the whole thing between science and more spirituality. God communicates to us through a flow of thoughts, words, pictures, impressions that create perception. The important thing is perception. This is received and interpreted in our minds on the screen of our imagination. We can learn to access spiritual realms using those same senses by tuning them. Practice. Train your senses through practice to discern. That's what it says in Hebrews 5:14. Voluntary encounters require practice. You initially may have experiences that then you can go back into those experiences by choice and learn to tune and engage. Desire takes discipline or perseverance to become a delight and a lifestyle. Hearing God's voice or seeing what God's doing is cognitive perception, and that's the key. It's not how you see or hear, but what you perceive and what you receive. Knowing is a conscious spiritual experience, not an intellectual understanding. We're not trying to figure it out and with our minds. If we do, we'll tend to block the flow of what's happening. Just relax and let the experiences outplay. There are some encounters that are spiritual, non-conscious experiences. In other words, our spirit can experience things that our conscious mind has not yet caught up with or has actually cognitive understanding of, but our spirit releases it at the right time. There are things that I've encountered in heaven that I share with people, even though I don't remember them consciously until I share them. But then they flow because our spirit has that memory even though our soul is not yet connected to it. So my journey to explore, discover, and function as a son in the spiritual realms has taken me to places beyond my wildest imagination. I couldn't make it up to do things beyond my wildest dreams. And, you know, God spoke to me about going beyond. And that's why, you know, I use that as a title, My Journey Beyond, for the book I've written, because it describes the process of always going beyond the limitations of our conscious mind to explore and go beyond where our spirit and our soul can begin to connect in things beyond what we can imagine or think, because God has so much more. He is so much more for us to discover. So what are the spiritual realms? Where are the spiritual realms? There are spiritual realms in this dimension all around us right now. There are things that you can't see with your natural eyes, but they're here. Your angels perhaps are around you unless they're on assignment. They're in a spiritual dimension around us in this natural dimension. That's why we can just turn into it to engage it. There are spiritual realms within us right now. Our spirit and our soul are both spiritual realms. That's why we can have a garden in our heart. That's why we can have a first love gateway. We can have gateways within our spirit, soul, and body. They are energy flows and access points. There are heavenly realms and heavenly places, which are in a different dimension, but are just as accessible as those realms that are around us, because they're not physical dimensions. You can turn into a dimension and engage it through the spirit. There are other spiritual dimensions connected to the physical realms. The atmosphere around the earth is connected to this physical realm, but it's a spiritual dynamic where principalities, powers, and rulers sit, and where thrones are for government around the earth. There are dimensional places as described as under the earth. Tartarus, the place where watcher angels are chained up, Satan's trophy room, the consuming fire of God's love, where the river of fire flows into. And they're described as under the earth, but they're not actually physically underground. They're just, it was used to describe that, to describe a dimensional perspective. And we can again turn into those places and engage them. There are doorways and access points you can learn to engage, particularly on Wisdom's Heights and other things that you can access to engage those places. There are other dimensions where all the children are being tutored and trained. All the children who have either died in childbirth or in miscarriages or in abortions, there is a dimension where they are, and they're being tutored and trained by specific angels to bring them into their sonship. They're not going to miss out on their destiny, but they do have to be trained and tutored. There are other dimensions where other races exist. Now, I'm not talking necessarily about little green men or ETs out there on some planet, but dimensional beings. There are portals between dimensions that can be opened and can be guarded. And it's important that when we begin to understand the nature of portals, that we learn to govern and rule portals, to make sure what comes through portals is under our direction and not any other. There is a dimension outside of time and space. If you want to call that a dimension, the eternal now, what was before there was, a created was. We can access this dimension by following the ancient paths. We can engage the heart and mind of God in that dimension. Effectively, we're coming into God himself. Everything exists within him, but there is something relational and tangible about engaging that, which can bring us into a deeper revelation of who he is and also who we are. We can walk on this ancient pathway. We stand in the name of Yahweh, Yod Heh Vav Heh, in the what is, in the Ark of the Presence of God, the center of that kingdom government, the wheel within the wheel within the wheel, and we can walk back into what was. And as we walk back into what was, we can then begin to outwork that into what is and create what will be. I don't personally believe in a fixed future. I believe that possibilities of the future exist as multiple possibilities, multiversed possibilities, if you like. You know, I don't really believe in multiple Earths. I believe in one, but I do believe that there are potential possibilities that exist all the time, that we are actually choosing realities that then will frame what the future will become. And then it's a past. Every time we make a choice, we are creating history. No one might see those choices. If you believe in chaos theory and other things, those choices may have an effect on the whole of creation, because we're all linked together in a creational way. But we can walk on these paths, and we can engage God's heart, and we can know God's heart. And then that can dictate how we then rule and govern in what is in the realms of heaven, to then outwork what will be on earth. The kingdom of God outworked in heaven so it can be outworked on earth is all established in the heart of God, in his desire. And he is living in the now. So it's not a fixed, rigid thing. It is flexible and fluid and continually being developed to outwork his will and purpose through us as we make those choices. Every choice we make has an implication, has a consequence. Of course, he always wants to bring good out of even the most stupid decisions we make, so that we can bring good out of them. That's his love for us. His love is redemptive. He always wants to redeem even the things that we do, which are independent. He wants to restore us back to original condition. And he wants to restore creation back to its original condition also. So when we learn to engage the ancient past and we learn to engage the heart of God in eternity, it can begin to change our heart and perspective. From the linear perspective, we see things into multiple possibilities that we can see. And then we can start to choose realities which align with God's will, not in a fixed way, not in a rigid way, but aligns with his heart through our creativity as sons, because he's empowered us as sons for this creation. And our sonship is so important that we grasp our identity, our position, and our authority. So when we step outside of time and space into the eternal now, we're literally in the omnipresent God, in that eternal now. And we have access to what was in his heart, in that eternal now. And that can totally change and transform how we see the possibilities of what can exist. The eternal now is where we came from and where we can return to engage. We were birthed there. We access the womb of his creative thoughts, where we can learn to see from that eternal perspective, seeing from the now or continual beginning, because it's always as an opportunity to be a beginning. We can engage in, if you like, in the desires of his heart that birthed us. So we can learn to perceive the possibilities of what will be from that eternal now perspective. Engaging all these realms is both an exploration and an adventure, and an amazing journey of discovery. And it's great to do all that. But also it brings both relationship and responsibility. There's relationship must come first, which then enables us to rule and have responsibility from the heart of God. But it is important to come from a face-to-face intimacy with God himself. That brings us to our positions of heavenly governmental authority, because it's flowing out of his very heart and his nature. So my journey progressed from visions to visitations to dual realms living. And I saw things in heaven. I then went into heaven. And then eventually I started to engage heaven every day. And then I began to live in heaven all the time rather than stepping in and out all the time. So those involuntary experiences began in 1995. I had more in 2008, which was the first engagement really in heaven. And then 2010 took me beyond the veil to begin to function there every day. And when I learned to access the spiritual realms by desire, I had to be trained and tutored to be a son who exercises government. You know, I didn't really understand anything really about heavenly government until I began to be tutored and trained once I'd engaged it and I was functioning there every day. So this process of Zechariah 3:7, you know, being a servant and a steward takes us to become a friend, a lord, a king, a son, a co-heir, and a co-creator. So the spiritual realm or atmosphere around us is where our personal angels are. So there is a spiritual dimension around us that we can engage in. The spiritual realm has other angelic beings, cloud of witnesses, that can engage with us in this dimension, but in a spiritual realm that we can turn into. There are angelic portals into our realm and from our realm. I practice until I could see all those spiritual things. I look to train the eyes of my spirit like spiritual sonar beginning to picture what was around in the spiritual dimensions around. And that took perseverance. But I practiced and I practiced until I could see. I found I could travel in those realms. Trans-relocation. Sometimes, involuntarily, I was in a car. I was taken 7 miles in an instant. And I was able to get to a meeting on time. Now, God did that to show me what was possible. Then there came a time that I needed to get to somewhere because I was going to miss a train with my daughter. And actually, I chose the reality where I could go 35 miles in a time which was impossible. And we were able to get to the train station early, even though the last 7 miles had to be done in 2 minutes, because I was able to control time and space, if you like. And that comes with seeing the possibilities and seeing the realities that exist and choosing the one that most aligns with God's purpose. You know, I could choose some realities which don't align with God's purpose. They won't produce the correct result. Then there's also translation spiritually in time and space. And we can be, particularly if we're available and make ourselves available, we can be used to answer people's prayers and to outwork God's purposes, both in space, different parts of the world, spiritually. What I mean by translation, I mean my spirit is translated there, sometimes my spirit and my soul, and that can physically manifest and engage people. I can also be translated back in time, not to change time, but because I go into the now of God, I've always effectively operated in that time, and now I'm just aware of it. You know, now it is a little bit of a mind twister to come to terms with that, but I've done it, and I've known a lot of people who are doing it, because we can access the spiritual realms and engage that. Now, I've not done that by personal desire, like I can go anywhere I want, but I have gone on the timeline as I've been taken out of desire. I wanted to see certain things that happened in the past. I was taken into the beginning. Yeah, you know, lots of things like that. But also, I make myself available, and then God can use me. And if we're all available, He can use us to engage those different spiritual realms. So I can engage the heavenly realms, but I can also engage the spiritual dimensions around in this dimension. I had experiences in the veil of my own spirit and soul, which are also spiritual realms. The kingdom of God is within our spirit. That's where God dwells within us. That's where God rules. When we open our first love gate, it expands to fill our spirit, soul, and body as their flow happens. We are a gateway of God, and we're a house of God, and we're a gateway of heaven. It's like God dwells in us. We are the wineskin of the new temple. We are the new heavens, the new earth. We are an expression of that and a gateway. And that gateway is a two-way gate. Two-way access to heaven is within us, so heaven can flow through us and we can flow into heaven. Heaven manifests through us as a river of life, rivers of living water flowing from our innermost being. The trickle that flows under the threshold of our first love gate, when we open that gate and choose to allow Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Father to flow, it can become ankle deep, knee deep, until it's out of our depths, bringing life wherever it goes. That is the atmosphere of love, joy, peace, heaven that we can create around us that can bring heaven into the earth. How do we do it? Open our first love gate so the river of life can flow, and make sure our gateways are cleansed and flowing and open so that there is no blockages or hindrances to that flow to create an atmosphere around us. And that atmosphere can go to our own personal Jerusalem, further afield, until it begins to fill all the spheres, and we can overshadow the spheres that we've been given by God to rule in on earth, because we're seated in heavenly places and our spirit can overshadow and engage that and flow into it. So we have this picture of the gateways of spirit, soul, and body, where we want those gateways open and we want them flowing from the inside out. So the key is first love, intimacy and relationship, opening that door that Jesus is knocking on, because He wants fellowship, He wants relationship, so that that can flow from the inside out like rivers of living water, like drinking from that spring or fountain of the wells of salvation, which is in us. and embracing that and flowing with it. So I discovered that my spirit has a doorway, like a two-way portal, which is like a micro wormhole that connects me to Eden, God's garden on Mount Zion in the heavens. That is direct access. Engaging the various things that are there through the river of life. When we welcome God into our spirit and soul, he welcomes us into his realm. That is a two-way doorway. It's a relational doorway. I so much enjoyed exploring Eden, where I discovered the river of life, waterfalls, tree of life, throne of grace, judgment seat, Father's garden, and beyond. There's so much there to experience and go deeper into. It's a revelation of the heart of God. It's relational. I learned to engage the seven spirits of God there. Some of the men in white linen gave me insight and revelation. I mapped out my encounters, creating pathways of relationship that I can walk until they became part of me. You know, and I used to walk them out every day, and now they're part of me, and now I can access them by thought whenever I want. And for all the places I've been in the realms of heaven, I can, by fixing my thinking or consciousness upon it and engaging it by faith, I am there and I can go there. You know, that's how we can learn to engage the spiritual realms. The physics of heaven is not the same as the physics of earth. The physics of heaven can overcome the physics of earth. That's why we can be trans-relocated and translated. But in the realms of heaven, thinking, thought is the access point to engage. Now, sometimes I like walking pathways because I can walk with Jesus sometimes. Sometimes it's a relational thing to walk together, but sometimes it's a functional thing. I need to be somewhere to do something, so I go there and I do what I'm called to do there. Now, we know Revelation 4:1 talks about the door standing open in heaven. This is also the same door that Jacob referred to when he was at Bethel. This is the house of God. This is also the gateway of heaven. Now, we can access that as well because the invitation is to come up here. It wasn't just given to John. It was given to all of us so that we can access that realm. So I discovered heaven has many realms and is patterned after the tabernacle by going through that doorway and engaging and being a living sacrifice and functioning in that way. The whole thing of the veils between the different courts, between the different realms. And I discovered so many things. Rooms, courtrooms, councils, assemblies, different aspects of mountains, mountain thrones, all of those things, you know, were part of my journey. The wisdom's heights, so much different, the places of engagement, but they are functions. They're not just a joyride to have fun and just explore. Yes, we can explore, but there's a reason for learning how to engage these things, so we need to function there. All those different thrones in the heavenly realms where God is seated and where we're seated needs to be occupied, and we need to function as sons there. Sometimes Jesus or the Father will just walk with me, showing me different rooms, places, courtrooms. But when they introduced me to wisdom, wisdom began to guide me through the different paths and procedures and protocols for using the courts. Now, when I say protocols, I'm not talking about you have to dot every I and cross every T and you've got to get every word. I'm talking about the way a court is operating. What is it for? You know, one is to produce authorizations. One is to produce records. One is to give you laws and legislation. There are different functions of them that we can learn how to engage. Proverbs 8:12. I am wisdom and I am shrewd and intelligent. I am at my disposal. I have at my disposal living understanding to devise a plan for your life. I empower kings to reign, rulers to make laws that are just. I empower princes to rise and take dominion and nobles to govern the earth. So you see there are different levels of authority here with different functions, and we can mature in those functions if we are willing to embrace our identity and our position in heaven. Wisdom, the seven spirits of God, prudence, other angelic beings can help us and tutor us and train us in this process of coming to maturity. So I met wisdom on wisdom's heights. There are pathways there. There are gates into Zion. There are doorways. There are pillars. There are ancient paths. There is the way. All these things are accessible, and we can learn to engage them if we continue to go back and seek for that wisdom and seek wisdom herself, and she can open up doors and show us pathways. Now, there are doors into space, there are doors under the earth, there are doors into the atmosphere, doors into Earth's timeline, because there were connections to different dimensions and different realms that you could find in that place. There are all the different courts of heaven. Those different courts have different functions and they operate in different levels. Court of War, Mobile Court, Court of Angels within the Kingdom of God. Court of Chancellors, Court of Scribes within the Kingdom of Heaven. Court of Kings, Court of Councils of the Fathers, Court of the Upright in the Heaven. And then Court of Judges, Court of the Lord, and the Court of 70 in the Heaven of Heavens. And there may well be things beyond there, you know, but we've got enough to get on with learning how to access these courts, maturing so we can go into the different realms of heaven and operate and function there in sonship. So I discovered that heaven itself is like a mountain sphere of government. It's governmental authority where God's thrones reside, and there are many figurative mountain ranges in different realms that we can access and function from. So we all have mountains and thrones in different realms to rule from as we mature in sonship. The mountain thrones are our positions of heavenly authority where we're seated, and when we know our identity as sons, we can begin to function there. Relationship and intimacy of the gardens and the more intimate relational places lead to the responsibility of having charge of the courts and ruling from our thrones. So I was given a mantle and a scepter and a crown, and I was enthroned on a mountain, and I was seated, and I began to learn how to rule. And there was an angel there, which I didn't see, because I was too focused on looking about what I was doing, who's assigned to us to help us rule, and we can engage with that angel that's always there for us and has been administrating our life even before we were aware of it. And now we are now mature enough to be seated there, we can start to learn how to administrate our lives ourselves. But there is insight and revelation that angel can give us. Wisdom gave me a seal and opened up other levels of encounter. I was given an orb representing authority to legislate and have charge of the courts. Now, if you have an understanding of kingdoms and a king and queen, then all these things make sense. If you live in a republic or if you live under a president and you don't have that understanding of kingship, then some of the ceremonial language may not be as easy to understand. But a scepter is the symbol of rule, the crown, obviously the symbol of government, the mantle, the symbol of authority, and the orb, the symbol of legislative governmental authority to make laws and use them. Now, there are many differing heavenly roles for us to begin to come into. And according to who we are and who we have been created to be, these different roles will give us different functions in heaven. So chancellors, judges, ambassadors, magistrates, scribes, oracles, legislators, counselors, ministers, elders, lights, fragrances, harmonies, frequencies, doors, matrices, planners, architects, designers, artists, musicians. Now, those are just a few of some that I've come across. Others talk about all sorts of different ones. So I would encourage you to, when you're engaging, ask God to unveil or reveal who you are, what roles he's given you. Now, what does it mean to be a harmony or a frequency or a light? Well, that's for you to discover. I've learned to understand what it is to be a chancellor and to be an ambassador. I know what it is to engage with scribes and with oracles and legislators. Some of these other things, I know there are definitely designers and planners and architects, and they're involved in developing blueprints. I know that there are dream writers and script writers for people's dreams that God wants to engage them in. Explore. There's so much more to discover in these things. So as we mature as sons, we're given different roles and responsibilities. So it's vital that we know our heavenly identity. That comes from a relationship. That then will lead to knowing where we are in lordship, kingship, or sonship. It's vital that we know our heavenly position, where we're seated, what realm that is, and not try and function out of a realm that we're not mature enough to handle yet. And it's vital that we know our heavenly authority. That's what we do when identity and position actually opens a window for us to operate with governmental authority from heaven into the earth. So heavenly government is seeing what our Father is doing and being a gateway of heaven into the earth. Heavenly government operates with the authority and power, energy, to govern matter, time, and space. Heavenly government is being yoked to Jesus, learning to rule in love with a gentle, humble, and heart. And I cannot emphasize this enough. This is the place of rest. We don't govern out of fear, anxiety, worry. We govern out of a place of rest. And when we're yoked to Jesus, we've taken his yoke upon us, then we can learn to rule with gentle, humble hearts. Heavenly government comes from a place of rest within the intimacy of a face-to-face relationship with God himself. Heavenly government conceives and releases heaven to manifest on the earth. Heavenly government operates in partnership with the angelic realm and the cloud of witnesses. Kingdom government must be established in heaven first. Otherwise, God's kingdom, his will, cannot come to the earth unless it's already agreed and established in heaven. And that's part of our function in sonship, to be co-heirs in that agreement. So when we're seated in the heavenlies, we can get to know God's heart and his desires. And we can begin to see what the Father's doing. When we're seated at rest, we then have the authority as co-heirs through everything that Jesus did. Because he was a son, we have sonship. Romans 8:19, for the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. This is what creation is waiting for, us to come into our heavenly positions and take earthly responsibility to a reveal sonship. He wants to reveal it. Creation is waiting for that revelation. Creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God, which is why we must come into the freedom of our identity and the manifestation of who we are so creation can respond to us and be set free. Our freedom brings creation freedom. So it's really important that we embrace understanding the government of God in that aspect of our government and our sonship. Isaiah 9:7, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. This is something which is going to continue from this age into the ages to come. There is still going to be an increase of his government and peace. Whatever that means, we're responsible to rule with justice and righteousness to establish that on the earth as it's already established in heaven. So the advancement of the kingdom is an ever-increasing expanding of God's government through his mandated sons and as heirs and co-heirs. And we've all been given this responsibility as sons for a kingdom that will fill the earth with God's government and peace. So we need to engage the heavens to receive heavenly mandates and blueprints to enable us to do this. We can't just make it up as we go along. There has to be authorization and a plan, a strategy. Then we can begin to establish those mandates through agreement in heaven, and then so they can come out onto the earth. We legislate to prepare for heaven to manifest on earth. We earth out those mandates and blueprints. Now, this is something we'll learn to do over the next few modules of learning how to do this, but we need to establish why we want to engage the heavenly realms and understand how they work together and how they function is so that we'll realize there is something important for us to do in exploring and engaging these things to bring government. So basically, we want to be as a royal priesthood, priests and kings, to establish an ark in heaven so that on earth we have the apostolic, prophetic, or the oracles and the legislation, again, as an ark, to bring agreement between heaven and earth. Now, we are that agreement. We are a gateway. We can bring and manifest heaven into the earth. We can be a reflection of heaven on earth ourselves. We can be that new sound, that new frequency. We can manifest a frequency of love. We can bring change and transformation as long as we're connecting heaven and earth. And as we live to in dual realms of heaven and earth, this can be a continual flowing process of change and transformation, both of us and in us and through us. So how? Well, to be seated, enthroned, so we can decree and declare and call forth and align, sign angels and release sounds and lights and frequencies and fragrances, use the courts, make and use legislation and laws. Now, I don't expect everyone to know all that without having been taught, but that's where we're going with all this. So it's so important to discover where we're enthroned and to take that place and be seated on our mountain in heaven. Whether that is initially in lordship in the kingdom of God realm, eventually into the kingdom of heaven in kingship, we need to start somewhere. So let's engage heaven. You know, if you've never been enthroned, if you've never actually been seated in heavenly places, if you've never actually experienced that, we want to give you an opportunity of doing that right now. We know we have Jacob's ladder. It's a door standing open in heaven. We have an invitation to come up here. We can walk those steps. If you're already living in dual realms, essentially you can shift the focus of your conscious mind here to engage with what your spirit is, where it's accessing in the realms of heaven. So we can engage Jesus through that veil. And as you step through that veil, whether it be consciously, what you're doing is exchanging the old for the new. You're going through the exchange, the covenant exchange of the cross, so that you can come into your new identity in Christ as a son. So I'd encourage you to close your eyes. Just get those beta waves slowing down to alpha waves. Begin to relax. Begin to tune in. And then just engage your spirit and soul with Jesus, who's standing in the doorway. We can present ourselves to Jesus as our high priest, as living sacrifices. If you've never been enthroned, I'm just going to ask Jesus to take you to your mountain and show you your throne so you can embrace that throne. If you've been enthroned before, perhaps Jesus might want to give you an orb and take you to another throne, a higher level of throne. He may want to take you to gardens, waterfalls, rivers, thrones, the Holy Holies, the courtrooms of heaven, show you things. Be open for wherever he wants to take you. But right now, we're just going to ask Jesus that you would take people to their mountain. And as you take them to that position of authority, who they are, their identity and their position in the realms of the kingdom of God, that you would introduce them to the angel that's been assigned to them in heaven. So be open for that introduction. Become familiar and aware of that angel that's there to support and to guide and to direct and to tutor and to train. Just take your seat on the throne that's on your mountain. And let Jesus place a crown on your head. Just be open for him now to place that crown. Sense the authority that that crown brings. Let him place the mantle of government on your shoulders. The authority to extend and expand God's kingdom. Then place the scepter in your right hand. He may give you other things. Jesus will invest you and call you into this position, decree and declare over you your sonship. Don't know what your seven mountain spheres are of authority, ask him to show you. They may come as words or thoughts or pictures of mountains that you have a sense of what they're about, but the position is towards spheres of authority that are specific to each individual. So ask for the revelation. You may need to keep coming back here, getting used to being seated, to that revelation be unfolded, but now you have access. Begin to think about areas of your life that you can begin to rule. Maybe you can decree or call forth changes to align heaven with earth in your life. Maybe you will can assign angels. Just be open that what you have been given in authority, perhaps you have a specific mandate, just use the position to begin to decree or declare or call forth or call things that be not as if they are. Use the authority. Allow your spirit to direct you. Perhaps there are some mountains that need to be shifted and moved in your own life. And you can make declarations to move those mountains, those obstacles. Perhaps there are some storms that are going on around your life that you need to take authority over and still the storm with that word of peace be still. So just spend a few moments engaging and beginning to legislate and govern from that place.